Hey guys,
I'm Hallie
and I'm Jamie
and this is Literal Nonsense.
Hello.
Oh, my cat's trying to come in the room.
I heard like a door and I was like, uh-oh.
He jumps on the door, like wow. On the handle. And he, like, scales the door and, like, opens it.
Wow. What a boss.
Typical orange cat behavior.
Truth.
Oh, he's so cute. Look at his old face.
I can't see his face.
He went away.
Okay. Hi.
Hey.
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 So what's up?
God. I am sick.
Oh, that's lame.
Sick of life. Sick of sickness.
Wow.
Sick of it all.
But we're not doing another Colleen Hoover today, so... There's a lot to be thankful for.
Thank God. Honestly, Jamie, another Colleen Hoover will be my 13th reason.
Well, we're not doing them ever again, so you heard it here. So today we are doing a book that everyone voted for. Now, granted, we gave you a pretty limited choice. So we wanted to do like a Greek mythology retelling, which I feel like there's like two like niche authors that have been like popular with this.
Yeah, for sure.
So we saw that Jennifer Saint has just been pumping out these books.
Yeah, she's always coming out with a new one. I mean, she just must be like really smart and like,
well, because we had read Ariadne,
mm-hmm.
and like that wasn't that long ago, and that was her first book.
Yeah, well, this one she wrote during COVID. I was confused.
So maybe we just read it late, like we were late to the game, or yeah. I think maybe they blew up like during COVID.
Yeah. Well, then the other one is Madeline Miller. She wrote yes. Circe, right? Song of Achilles, mm-hmm. she wrote too.
Yeah. So those are like the two.
And we also read those.
We did read those, yes. And we liked them. Like Greek retellings. So my hot take, maybe I'm just stupid. But like I really love the Greek stories. I think they're so dramatic and like, you know, me, I love that shit.
So dramatic.
But the original like Greek stories, you know, with the writing and stuff, sometimes my brain, I don't wanna have to decipher what the fuck is going on.
It's like reading like old English, right? It's like if you read like Shakespeare, it's like
yeah.
you have to work that much harder to understand what's going on.
Right. And again, am I dumb? Potentially. But I enjoy this story. So this whole, like, Greek retelling situation, thanks, guys.
No, yeah, I do like a Greek retelling. I think what I enjoy most about them is, like we said, they're so dramatic, but it's, like, so, like, nonchalant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's
yeah.
so dramatic. Like, if you think about it, I'm like, wow, that's really fun. Like, I was reading it, and I was telling my coworkers about, like, up to the part where I got to, and they were like, oh my God, like, that's crazy.
Yeah, and they don't even write it, like, at the main plot point. No. They're like, moving on.
Yeah.
And I also feel like I also appreciate with Madeline, I don't know how you say her first name, Miller and Jennifer Saint, they're not doing, like the Greek retelling, but, like, they're in modern world. Like, they're just, like, legit.
Yeah.
It's just in better, more... able to understand language.
Yeah, and I feel like also too, because now we've read like a few of them, like now the dots are connecting, you know?
Yeah.
Like they mention like in this book they mention Odysseus, and we read about Odysseus, what was yes. that, in Circe
maybe? Yeah, because like those or are like something. The main, those are like the big ones, you know? Well yeah. and they're all connected.
Yeah.
And so, okay, well, let's talk about this
they're
one.
They're all interbred, so.
Well, fair. And so for this book, we read based on your votes, Electra. I literally was like, who the fuck is Electra? I had no idea yeah. who this bitch was.
No clue.
So Electra is about three women. So it's coming from, like, three different point of views.
Mm-hmm.
And so, oh, God, I'm going to get this wrong. There's Electra, Cassandra, and Clementra. Is that how you say her name?
Sure.
I mean, right? Sounds good.
I don't know how to say it.
I think that's right.
Clementra, yeah, sure.
Which, okay, mind you. So Clementra is Helen of Troy's...
sister.
Twin. I was like, she has a sister?
Yeah, she has a sister.
I was like, wow, how irrelevant this one was in history, you know? Like,
no, right? And then Electra is her daughter.
Clementra's daughter.
Mm-hmm. And then Cassandra is... she's the daughter of... King Priam and Hecuba. Hecube, yes, or whatever her name is, who her long lost brother is the one who takes Helen away from Sparta and brings her to Troy.
Yes, so Cassandra's brother.
So they're like sister-in-laws.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah. So basically it starts, and it's all, this book essentially revolves around like the Trojan War.
Yeah.
But it's like the side, or like the background characters, like what they were doing, which I was like, cool, because I had no idea these people existed.
Mm-hmm. I also, okay, hot take. I feel like Cassandra was kind of pointless in this story.
Yes.
I don't really feel like she really had like a, like, I felt like she was kind of more like filler.
Yeah, I could agree with that. But I think story, it just gave you a stance to let you know what was going on with the war, I feel, I like. Yeah,
it's like another.
Because, like, no one else was there.
Yeah. But I feel like mostly the main story is about Clemencia and her daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's get into these fucking psychos. So it starts out with Helen and Clemencia. I'm going to say Clemencia. I don't know if it's right.
Every time I read it, I think of chlamydia.
Ooh.
I don't know why.
Well, that's not great. Poor lady. Yikes.
Sorry. If anyone's named Clemencia.
I mean.
Clemencia. Can we call her Cly for short?
Cly? No, I'm calling her Clemencia. You can call her Cly.
I'm calling her Cly.
I just don't like that. I think that's like a, I don't know. Anyways, so it starts off with her and Helen like picking their husbands and their suitors, whatever. And so Helen picks this, like, I don't even know his name because he's quite frankly, whatever.
Oh,
Meniclus?
Menalus or Menelius.
This is gonna be a great episode for names.
Yeah, it is actually.
And so Helen picks this guy and she's like the most beautiful, whatever. And her sister's like, why'd you pick him? And she was like, he seems decent. Wow.
You're probably gonna hear that, so just ignore it.
Okay. And so she's like, he seems decent. And her sister's like, okay. And so her sister meets his brother, mm-hmm, Agamemnon.
Agamemnon.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
Great. Amazing. I'm so good. I'm shocking myself. So she meets Agamemnon, and then she marries the brother. So now Helen stays in Sparta with her husband. Mm-hmm. And
because they're from Sparta.
Mm-hmm. And then our girl, Clemencia, she leaves with Agamemnon. Now, basically, the story starts. She has daughters with him, blah, blah, blah. She has three daughters. One of those daughters is Electra. Okay, great.
Well, okay. You're missing the main part of the story, bro.
Uh-oh, what part?
The main reason why this is all such crazy shit. Because Agamemnon, the throne was stolen from his father, mm-hmm, by his uncle. Mm-hmm. And so Agamemnon is like, I'm going back to my homeland, which I can't remember what it's called. That's really bad.
Okay, guys, there's a lot of names and fucking cities in this book, so bear with us.
Anyways, so he's going back to kill his uncle to avenge his father and take back the throne. Mm-hmm. And Helen and Cly's father is giving him the Greek men to go and help him fight. And so basically we find out that his uncle has a son named Aegisthus or something like that. And Cly is like begging Agamemnon. She's like, he's little, like he's just a boy, like spare his life. And so he ends up doing that and he like escapes. And so now Agamemnon is now ruling over his throne.
Correct. But there's like this whole family curse. Of course there is. It's a Greek myth.
Yes.
And so they're like descendants of Tantalus with this whole thing. He like chopped up his son and tried to feed it to the Greek gods. Sick fuck.
Oh, yeah.
And so now there's this family curse where it's like blood must spill blood. And so it's like the uncles and the brothers, they're all fighting over the throne. And then it's like basically what happens is someone kills someone. They might spare whoever. And then it's like they're like grow up and they're like, you killed my father, so I must kill you. But then they probably have a son, and then it just never ends. It never fucking ends. So she's in this family with this family curse, and she's like, we're going to be fine. Like, he spared the little boy. And so we're over the curse. We're done. No more curse for us.
Yeah. Hurrah. She like wanted to break the curse.
So.
Because it was like taboo. Like no one spoke about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So great, Kalenstra. Way to be positive, I suppose. And so now she hears from across the sea that all of a sudden Paris, who is Cassandra's brother, comes.
He's also a long lost brother.
Of course.
Yeah, because Cassandra's mom apparently is like an acolyte or something of like Apollo. And when she was pregnant with Paris, Apollo gave her like a vision of like death and destruction to what's it called? Where are they?
Troy.
In Troy, yeah. But like her mom like brushes it off, and then they can't kill the son, like they feel bad doing that, so they just like send him off to live in the hills with a shepherd. And so after all these years, Paris comes back and he's like, I am Paris, your son, and blah 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 blah. And
well, Cassandra, meantime,
it's also convoluted. It's crazy. Yes.
So Cassandra, in the meantime, she's like praying to Apollo, whatever, and she's begging to have like, you know, divinity, whatever, not divinity, like is that right? No.
Yeah, like she wants to be like a, not like a prophet of him, but like
she wants
or
visions.
A priestess or something. Because yeah. She doesn't want to marry. So she's like, oh, like if I can, you know, say I'm like
swing
a
priestess
of Apollo, then like I can just live in the temple and just live my life out. And
but she really wants visions. And so she's begging, begging, begging. He finally visits her and like then he tries to rape her. And I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yes.
God,
but then
sir.
He just like spits in her mouth or something.
I was like, the Greeks were kinky like this? Oh, goodness. Yeah, well, he's mad that like
she like
couldn't have sex with him.
Yeah.
So then he grants her with visions. But it's really a curse because now everyone thinks she's crazy. Yeah. No one believes her. And then so she's like burdened with like always knowing what's going to happen. And she'll tell everyone and they're like, you're so silly. Which would be infuriating, to be fair.
Yeah. So like she sees like the destruction of Troy and like she's like trying to warn them and they don't listen. So the reason why Troy ends up falling is because Paris takes Helen as his wife and like skirts her away. And so in order to avenge and get his wife back, Menelaus is like, Agamemnon, let's go, buddy. We're going to go get my wife.
Yeah, get
back.
All your army and, like, let's go get her.
So, the main meat of the story is, like, them away, like, fighting at Troy, which takes 10 years, which is baffling. Just give it up. No one to give it up, bro.
I also knew about the Trojan War because, like, that's, like, I feel like, you know, common-esque knowledge.
I didn't realize it took 10 years, though. That was crazy.
Well, no, that's crazy. But here's my thing. Okay, so in this book, we get, like, some decent glimpses of Helen. What the fuck is her deal? I don't know what she wants. I don't know what, like, I'm confused by her.
Okay, yeah, and that was, like, so interesting. That was, like, a big thing that annoyed me is that, like, we never knew why. But I guess in real life, we also don't know why. You know, did she leave on her own free will or was she taken away?
I can't tell. I don't know.
Because she's so indifferent. Like, she doesn't give a fuck.
Like, so that, and I think that's the point of Cassandra is like, Cassandra talks to Helen. And so you're like kind of getting this like insight to what's going on over there. Because again, the war is taking place in Troy for 10 years. So you're getting like a lot of insight there. And then I think it's also a way to like talk to Helen, which, yeah, Helen just is so.
She's like, la-di-da-di-da.
I don't think I like her.
She's like an NPC.
Yeah, I just.
Okay, so let's talk about, like, Cly's situation. So.
Well, yeah, because this is how the war kicks off, really.
Yeah, so Cly and Agamemnon, they have 3 daughters and a son, right?
Well, she's pregnant with the son at this point.
Yeah, so. By the time he's away at war, she just has the son. So, like, he grows up not knowing his father.
Well, wait, you got to talk about how the war gets started.
Yeah, So whatever, they leave, right? And then they're, like, on this, like, distant shore somewhere. And she gets a note from, like, Odysseus or something. And he's like, oh, Agamemnon is going to marry your daughter, her first daughter, which I also no can't
Achilles. Remember.
Yeah, her first daughter, Odysseus writes a letter or something,
yeah,
to Cly to say like, oh, Agamemnon wants to marry your daughter.
Well, no, Agamemnon
to Achilles.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I thought you were saying Agamemnon God wants to marry damn your daughter, and let I was
me,
like,
let me finish my sentence. Sister.
I was waiting, and like I feel like
you no
still aren't saying it.
Anyways. So Cly has to go to this distant shore with her daughter.
Iphigenia? Iphigenia?
Oh, Iphigenia.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think that's how you say it. Mm. So they go. They land. And, like, no one fucking talks to them.
They land like they're birds.
No, they land, like, from the ship. Isn't that like, what they say?
I think they're in a horse.
Like the ship has landed?
No. Nope.
Yeah, so because the ship is on the water, so when it hits the land, it's landed.
I say docked.
Anyways, now we're getting into semantics here. So they get there, and no one welcomes them, and it's just like Odysseus, and he's like, oh, hey guys, you're just going to follow me to this tent, and you're going to stay here until tomorrow morning when we have the wedding. And she's like, well, where's my husband? Where are the people? And he's like, yeah, don't worry about it. Like, just follow me.
Which
initially I was like, yeah, this is not going to end well.
Dude, I knew it was going to happen. Like, not because I had prior knowledge, just because I was like, oof, you know?
Yeah, and, like, she knows something's up. And she's, like, demanding to see her husband. And, like, the guards won't look at her, like, whatever. So they go in the tent. And then she's, like, preparing her daughter in the morning. And she has, like, a bad feeling. And then she walks her daughter to the water where there's, like, an altar. And all of a sudden her dad... Agamemnon. Oh, well, Cly, first of all, she has to let Iphigenia, like, walk to the dock, and then the soldiers, like, grab Cly and, like, cover her mouth and, like, fucking are suffocating her, and she has to watch while Agamemnon takes his daughter, puts her in a chokehold, and fucking slits her throat.
Okay, can you imagine?
Like, what?
I was legit, like, okay, I knew it was coming, you know what I'm saying? And I still was like, bro, you are cold-hearted.
She's going to sacrifice himself.
She's sacrificing. No. Yeah, I mean, I wish that man sacrificed himself. I mean, so, our girl Clemenstra is not happy.
Well, obviously, she's distraught. She just watched her husband murder her daughter.
Slit her firstborn's throat.
And they did it so they can have a fair win to Troy. Basically so that they could, like... like, get to Troy quickly and safely.
I mean, but here's the thing with these Greek things. Okay, I'm not saying that was right, because, like, I'm not saying that was right. But I'm just saying is, like, the amount of times that the Greeks need to sacrifice whatever to get whatever else. You know, like, I think at one point in the book, I forget who mentions it, but someone's like, I think it was Electra, actually, and it's about her sister. And she was like, It's an honor to be sacrificed. Like, he probably didn't want to do it. He just, like, had to, which we'll talk about, like, their dynamic as well. But I don't know. Do I think he's a piece of shit? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, in the society that it was. Are we surprised? And also, like.
This happens in every book we've read.
Yeah, and, like, not everyone gets so hell-bent about it as much as Clancher did, you know?
Yeah, I mean, somebody always ends up getting sacrificed.
Right.
The human sacrifice is crazy. So, yeah, so Cly, obviously.
And then he leaves. Like, he just goes on his ship, and he's like, bye, wife. Doesn't even talk to her.
No, like, they just head off to Troy.
Wild.
They're off to see the wizard, and Cly has to go back to... Her house. Her castle on the hill. And yeah, so obviously she's quite frankly depressed. And
you don't say.
And so now she's there and she's like, you know, just brooding about. And then this guy meets her like in the throne.
In the courtyard. No, yeah, I think he's like sneaking around nighttime. Yeah, I can't speak. He's sneaking around at night like. In her fucking courtyard, and he's like, hello. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. So, turns out this man is Aegithius, or whatever his name is.
Which shocker!
Is Agamemnon's cousin that he spared.
Nephew.
It's his cousin.
Are you sure?
because he killed his uncle.
Are you sure it was his uncle? I don't even know. I have no idea. Like, yes. I'm not even questioning you. I'm asking. Like, I need help.
His uncle stole the throne.
Okay, so
from his father. And he was just a boy when he
killed him. Okay, no, I knew that whole part, but I didn't know if it was his brother. Yeah, it's his uncle. You're right.
So it's been like 10 years, essentially, since that happened.
Which, what's this guy, like fucking 18? Maybe 17, to be generous?
Yes, yes. And Clyde is probably like almost 40. Anyways, so he's like, oh, like, I'm a Aegithius. Like, I heard that you begged Agamemnon to spare me, and I heard what he did to your daughter, so let's team up.
What a bad bitch.
Kill Agamemnon. And she kisses him, and she's like, yes.
Okay. Also, my hands down favorite part of this book. So just a little preface before I say what my favorite part is. In this process, Clementra is ignoring her other children because she's traumatized, and she's like, I don't even want to get close to them because what if someone just fucking murders them? You know, like, yeah. I want nothing to do with them, whatever.
And she just, like, sees, like, her oldest daughter's face, like, whenever she looks at them.
Right. And so she gives birth to their son, barely talks to him either, like, just, like, does the, you know, her due diligence, whatever, yada, yada. But essentially ignores her children. Now, Electra loves, 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 dotes on her father. Cannot wait for him to come home. The only thing Electra is living for is for Agamemnon to come home.
Yeah.
That's it. So now, when Aegithius, or whatever the fuck his name is, comes in and starts banging her mom, and he's like 18 years old, like whatever, my literal favorite part of this book is how she talks about him.
Yeah, like how she describes him is hilarious.
Oh my good God. Electra is a fucking savage. A savage.
Yeah, no.
Do we have a quote? Wait, hold on. Oh my God. It was amazing. I definitely have a quote. Oh, okay. Good. We texted about it.
Yeah, but there was another one too.
Oh, I have both. Don't worry.
Okay, good.
So one quote says, this craven, hesitant, rat-faced wraith who had all the substance of my mother's shadow.
Crazy. Crazy.
What? And then the next one, which, chef's kiss, that mangy dog sitting in my father's seat, sniffing at my mother's skirts, whining around our palace, making my skin crawl every time I see his narrow, fretful face.
She hates him.
I want Electra to be my friend to talk to whoever I don't like that.
Like the way.
Because you are
so
just
eloquent.
You're just so humbled. If someone said that to me, I'd be like, you know what? Yeah, I'm a piece of shit. I just wouldn't. You would have no backing.
No, like you really don't have a leg to stand on. It's just, I don't know. And like he's
ripped
also,
apart.
He's also like not nice to them either.
Yeah, and also like to be fair, like she said, she was like, honestly, if he came in here and like conquered us, and he was like a big strong man, I'd be like, you know what, Clementra, respect, sister, whatever. She's like, this fucking Weasley motherfucker is like a little pussy boy. My mom is like falling all over him.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, how, you're a disgrace, mother.
Yeah. I mean, but like, I don't think that like her mom is really like attracted to him. I think it was just like more of a convenience thing. And I think she liked that he also wanted to kill her husband.
Yeah. So that's like their whole plot. And then, I mean, does really anything happen until Agamemnon comes home? Like, we have, like, a little recount of, like, the story of the Trojan War.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of it is mostly just, like, Cassandra saying, like, people are going to die and no one's listening to her. And then from Clive's perspective, it's just her saying how, like, she's so depressed and her children hate her. And she can't wait until Agamemnon comes back so she can kill him. And sorry, the cats are really fucking making a lot of noise today. And then Electra's is just, like, fucking talking about how all powerful her father is to her one and only friend Georgios, the farmer boy.
Oh man, we'll talk about him.
I feel so bad for him.
So bad for Georgios. Well, here's
because Electra's also a bitch. Like she sucks.
Oh, a bitch. Okay, but here's now I want to talk about like the dynamics because yes, like Hallie just said, the main story is literally Cassandra being like, someone listen. And everyone's like, no. And then the war is being fought. Clementra's like, I can't wait for them to win so Agamemnon can come home so I can kill him. And Electra's like, I miss my dad. I can't wait to see him. Like, that is essentially what is going on in the entire book.
Yeah.
But the way, number one, I will argue that Jennifer Saint is an amazing writer.
Her writing is very good.
It's
very lyrical.
Very lyrical. And I want to say, which we had a brief conversation about this as well, I think that she is a great person to do these myth retellings because she writes it in, like, you know, modern, everyday language that I can understand. And, like, it's not difficult for me to try to, like, decipher what's going on in the stories. But she still keeps that lyrical, metaphorical, beautiful writing that I still think keeps, like, the authenticity of the stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the Greek myths are, like, beautiful, dramatic, you know, these, like, very captivating stories. And I think she does a really good balance of, like, writing it again so we can understand it. We don't need to, like, strain ourselves and we can just read it for enjoyment.
Yeah.
But her writing keeps, like, the mood and the characters as they were intended, I really, truly feel.
Yeah.
Which I think that's a hard feat, honestly.
I mean, just think of, like, the amount of research that has to go into this.
Well, and I do. I trust her. I feel like she's accurate. I don't know. I have no idea, but I feel like she is.
I feel like, you know, you're going to have to fact check upon fact check upon fact check.
And I think other authors who aren't lyrical and just kind of like, for example, like Sally Rooney probably shouldn't write a Greek mythology book.
No, definitely not.
You know what I'm saying? Because it needs that, like, flair for the dramatic, like the rat-faced wraith who has the substance of my mother's shadow. I was like, yes, Jennifer Saint.
That was insane.
But, like, she writes like that a lot. And I think I really appreciated that, especially given the context that they were Greek myths that we were reading.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's sure. Number one. But I think, so in reading the book, it's kind of like we said, like, everyone has the same thing going on. It's like Cassandra's doing this, Clemenstra's pissed, and Ravon wants revenge, and Electra wants her dad home. But as the chapters go on and, like, she's describing these feelings and, like, the emotion behind it, I feel like you really start to, like, get that build up where, you know, the climax is going to come and you're like, oh no. Like,
well, yeah. I mean, and the whole time also, like, in Clive's chapter, she's like, what is my sister thinking?
Yeah. Well, but, like, valid, because I'm also like, what is your sister thinking?
Well, yeah. And, you know, okay, so they're in Troy and they're fighting the Trojan War. And, like we mentioned, it lasts 10 years.
And over this dumb bitch. I cannot believe. Can you? I would feel so bad.
Yeah. And, like, also, too, like, Paris comes out of nowhere and is like, hello, welcome me back into my family. Like, his parents are also very wary of him. Like, they don't trust anything he's saying, but they do what he says.
Yes.
Which is, like, you know, honestly, you deserve all the destruction that comes to you.
But at the same time, it's, like, the second that he came back from fucking nowhere and brought all this drama into my life, I'd be like, actually, never mind. Like, I'm good. I think that you should fucking leave with Helen. Like, go live in the woods.
Go back to your hills.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? I'd be like, dude, you literally just came here to our city and you stole someone's wife and then brought her here. Inconsiderate as fuck.
Yeah, I don't know. But, like,
Paris is fucking annoying. Whatever.
Yeah, he's annoying. And, like,
I gotta know. Like, I maybe that's, like, again, because I haven't read, like, the Iliad and the Odyssey, and I think that's what one of them is about, is the Trojan War.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of, like, the allure? Like, we don't ever know what Helen is thinking? Because I fucking need to know. Like,
I think so. I think that's why she's so ambiguous.
Well, that's fucking irritating.
Because I remember, like, learning about this in school, and it was like, no one knows why. Like, they don't know if she was taken by Will or if she went, like, just because she wanted to be with him.
Yeah, I literally hate
but
that.
But, like, also,
I'd,
like,
almost be down for, like, a, like, sordid affair, you know?
Well, it might be that way because, like, when she chooses Menalius as her husband, like, Cly's like, why did you choose him?
Yeah, and she's, I told you, she, he's like, he seems fine.
Yeah, like, she had her pick of suitors, like, you know, big brawny men, like,
mm-hmm.
smart, intelligent men, and she kind of just, like, picked, like, a mediocre guy.
And yeah, he is definitely mediocre for sure.
So, I mean, maybe.
But I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, it's just, well, whatever. So, they have the war,
There's, like, a huge buildup just essentially of, like, all these characters, like, deep in their feelings.
Yeah, and, like, everyone's dying, and everyone's like, when's the war gonna end? And then finally, like, one day the Greeks, like, pack up and they leave. And everyone's like, oh my god, the war is over. And then, like, there's just, like, this giant wooden horse, like, on the beach.
Which, I knew that, like,
yeah,
from, like, the story. And I was like, LOL.
Well, a Trojan horse is, like, you know, very well known. It's a type of fallacy and, like, logic, like, it's like a popular saying, but like, yeah,
well, right, but it also came from this.
Yeah, so it originated from here. And so essentially the Trojan horse, you know, it was said that the Greeks left it to, what was it, Athena, as like,
yeah, Athena,
for like safe passage home.
But liars.
Then, but then the fucking Trojan people are like, oh, let's take it into the fucking palace and fucking dedicate, like, it to Athena.
Like, we'll steal their blessing.
Yeah.
Idiots.
And Cassandra's like, don't do that. And they're like,
she's literally like, they're inside of it.
Yeah, she literally tells them point blank. And they're like, no. So, like, they leave it in, like, the courtroom or something. And, like, everyone goes to sleep.
The courtyard.
Yeah, or some, whatever.
They leave that horse in the courtroom. Hear ye, hear ye.
And she, like, sneaks up in, like, the dead of night with a fucking torch. And she's, like, going. And
Cassandra.
Yeah, and she's like trying to set it on fire because she wants to smoke the people out.
She wants to burn them alive.
Yeah. And then a guard comes in, and then it's like everyone's awake, and everyone's like, what the hell's going on?
They tackle her. They tackle her into the ground.
And the guard's like, I saw her.
Like you dumb bitch.
Yeah. Cassandra. And of course, the Greeks were in the horse. And they come out and they fucking take over the palace.
But first, first there's, like, a weird scene, which I want to hear your thoughts on it. I don't know how significant it is. But to prove that the Greeks aren't in it, Helen goes up to it and she's, like, seduce-talking all the men. Like, yeah. Odysseus, like, your wife misses you, whatever. But, like, Cassandra makes a point to say that, like, her voice changes to each person she's talking to. And I'm like, I think Helen's a fucking psychopath, actually. Sure. I argue that Helen has severe problems. Like, I don't know, man. Helen just seems like she's something's up with this bitch.
Yeah, that, like, was weird. I remember reading that and I was like, I was like, kind of not necessary. Well, maybe she's just, like, out of her mind. Or maybe she's, like, schizophrenic.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, I'm thinking it's, like, she has, like, severe mental illness. Because something's just wrong with her. Anyways.
Yeah.
So, obviously, like Hallie said, yes, the Greeks were in the horse and they burned their city. Yeah. Whatever.
Go figure.
But, like. So then. What?
But, what? I don't know. This is what I, like, don't. I don't understand, too. Like, can we just talk about the dynamic between, like, Cassandra and her mother also?
Like, I feel like just they're just, like, this girl's a little crazy. Like, we'll just let her.
It almost feels like they're kind of in, like, competition with each other. Did you get that vibe?
I just feel like her whole family, like, just no one likes her.
Like, I don't know. I was getting the vibe that, like, when, like, it was known that her mother had visions from Apollo, right? But, like, because it was, like, such a terrible vision and, like, it was about, like, Paris or whatever, like, it was all hush-hush, right? And, like, that's what prompts Cassandra to, like, follow Apollo and ask for these visions.
Yeah. And,
you know, obviously she gets, like, all the visions, like, whatever. But, like, I wonder if it's, like, because there's, I think, a couple times where, like, Cassandra tries to say something and her mother, like, really, like, fucking brushes her off.
I think it's almost, I can see what you're saying with, like, the competition thing. I think the mom is, like, number one, these visions, like, aren't fun. Like, why are you, like, trying to, like, you know, get all up in this? And number two, like, they come to the mom in a dream, and the fact that, like, Cassandra's claiming, like, to have them all the time and that Apollo, like, visited her, like, physically. I think the mom, I feel like envious might not be the right word, but I think she doesn't believe her because she's like, I have the visions, that's not the form that mine take, slash, like, who are you that a god would, like, deem to visit you, like, in the consciousness?
So it's kind of like a,
so maybe like an envy thing
or like a superiority thing.
I think her mom, but I think it's also partially, like, her mom just is like, well, that's not how mine work. I just don't believe you. And I think she almost thinks she's, like, an attention seeker and is like, shut the fuck up. Like, please stop talking.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's like a horrible parenting strategy.
Oh, God, like, they're just so messy.
I would argue that Greeks are actually horrible parents. Like, not ancient Greeks. Yeah. Sorry, Greek people.
Oh, Jamie. What's your beef?
So, no, I like the Greeks. They were very kind. And so the war ends. Obviously, Troy falls. They take, so fucking of course, because we have to tie it together kind of, Agamemnon takes Cassandra as his, like, prisoner of war.
His prize. No, so wait, now, but also we forgot to mention that, like, when they were fighting the war, like, Achilles, like, found a woman that, like, he wanted to keep as his own. And Agamemnon's like, no, she's mine.
Well, I think that was in the Song of Achilles. That's, like, I think, like, right? Well, because Agamemnon is a popular, well, not popular. Agamemnon, hello?
He's, like, a well-known giant guy.
Noise? Yeah, because he was, like, he was the best of the Greeks. He had the biggest Greek army. Like,
yeah.
So, like, he, you know, he's big in the Trojan War. So I think the fact that he had that prisoner girl and Achilles wanted her and he wanted her and whatever, I think that's, like, a thing. Like, that's, I knew about that. Because I remembered that from Song of Achilles.
Yeah, but, like, also what, I just don't understand, like, that
just
whole
fucking
concept.
Ego, bro. It's men's ego. Because, like, he's like, I'm the king. Or, you know, he's not. But he's like, I'm the ruler of this army. And so, you know, just, like, any spoils, thinking. Yeah, any spoils of war are my spoils of war.
I just, like, hate that premise. Like, I hate that.
I mean, that's just how they were, though. That's, like, that's any of these ancient bullshits. Like, also, and, okay, so not that, again, this matters, because, again, it was back then and things were different, whatever. Like, when I'm reading this, I'm like, you have a wife. Why are you trying to...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just don't understand the concept. Oh. I mean, like, I get that a lot of, like, the marriages were arranged, you know, back
right,
then.
But, like, you still, like, are cheating on your wife.
But I guess that, like, was acceptable back then. I don't really know.
Yeah, I just, my thing, right? And, like, I think this, okay, so, like, this is, like, whatever, you're gonna laugh at me. Kind of unrelated, but not really. That was my hang-up for the longest time to watch The Sopranos, because I knew they had the fucking gumas. And I was like, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't fuck with that. And Ryan's like, what, like, that's just, like, that's, like, the culture. And I was like, not this fucking culture. Like, this
not
is
my
not...
culture.
Yeah, but because, like, but again, same thing, like, back then, like, because in my head, right, the whole time, I'm like, wait, he's trying to, like, take this girl from Achilles and he won't fight, yada, yada. Is no one saying, like, hey, what about your wife? But, like, no, they're not, because that's, like, not.
No.
That's not how they're thinking, which I understand. I'm thinking that way. But.
I agree.
That's a digression, just because this is how things were. Yeah, it didn't matter. Like, you came home to your wife, and, like, that was, like, who you, like, had your family and who, like, held the house down for you. But, like, you were able to do whatever the fuck you wanted. Always.
This seems so counterintuitive to me.
Well, because
they
made
maybe,
it...
like, counterproductive. I don't know.
Well, it's just how they lived.
I guess. Like, to me, it's, well, just, like, then what's the point?
Because they need, like, a woman of their house to, like...
Well, like, see, now there's the thing, right?
There's, like, that thing.
There's the thing, is that men would not be able to survive without women. Point blank, period.
Wow. I mean, yeah.
And yet they treat us like shit. I just don't get it.
Wow. Wow. Are we okay?
Just saying, like, generally.
Get to talk? No, I get what you're saying. Well, and so, and now, he takes this woman, Cassandra, just, like, he's like, come on home with me to my wife. What the fuck?
And she's just,
so,
like,
now,
trailing behind him.
Yeah, but now is when shit, ooh, wow. So, they had
also,
this.
I think this whole part, like, this next part was so anticlimactic.
Yeah, we can talk about that, because I kind of agree with you. So, the, what's it called? The torches get lit, because they had, like, a trail of torches that Clemenstra was like, light them when they're coming home so that I can get ready to kill him. Whereas Electra's like, yay, my dad's coming home. Which, honestly, okay, so, like,
prepare to die.
I thought what was really interesting, and I'm curious what you think. I did not like Agamemnon based off Clemenstra, because he killed their daughter, and based off even how Cassandra said he treated her, like, you know, he took her as a prisoner, he's raping her, you know, his whole stance with the Achilles and fighting over that woman thing, that's ridiculous, whatever. But it was hard to like see his daughter love him so much. Like, I was like, is he that bad? Like, I feel like that really
she was his biggest fucking fan and his biggest like defender.
And so her and her farm boy Georgios also really likes him, and his father likes him, you know? So I just think that perspective shift was interesting in the book, that like people could be so for or against the same person.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's like with anything, right? You can even say that in today's times, but like, I feel like it's just, I think from like a power thing, that's why he was idolized.
Right.
Because he united all these portions of Greece.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know what I mean? Though. Like, he brought all the Greeks Electra. Together kind of thing. But, like, yeah, she was totally misguided. But I think a lot of it was...
But, like, was she? Like, he was a good dad to her. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just felt bad. And, like, to be fair, I totally understand Clemenstra's rage and, like, wanting to kill this guy and, like, just A, B, C, and D. But I could also argue, I get Electra's point, like, of hating her mother because she was a fucking horrible mom.
Okay, yeah, well, Electra fucking...
I think the two of them, their stories, I think Cassandra was kind of just there to be like, what's going on in Troy? Electra and Clemenstra were interesting, man, because you really got to see, like, the different perspectives, and I totally understood both of them, you know? Like, I totally understand Clemenstra, like, teaming up with the fucking 18-year-old boy and, like, distancing herself from her children because she doesn't want to lose them and, like, all this stuff. I'm not saying I agree that that's how she should have handled it, but I, like, totally empathize. Electra, totally empathize with her, like, wanting to just see her dad again and, like, being like, my mom's a fucking bitch fucking this 18-year-old boy. Like, that's weird, you know? Like, she's unloyal to my father. Like, and I was like, damn, like, you both are so right in your feelings. Like, because they both were totally justified.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
My experience is valid. Thank you.
Right. And so the torches get lit. They both have very different reactions. And so everyone's excited for different reasons. And so Agamemnon comes home and Electra is so excited. Breaks my heart. And so she's running and Clemenstra's men grab her and fucking shove her in a room. And you're like, oh no.
Yeah, they lock her away.
And I think part of me.
She never gets to see her dad.
Yes. Part of me forgot for 5 seconds it was a Greek myth. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be like a close call. And then like she'll end up seeing him. And I was like, oh, that's not how these work.
That's not how they work.
And I would argue, though anticlimactic, brutal.
Okay. Yeah. So, okay. Now this is a thing, right? So like, Electra's locked away in the dungeon. She can't see her dad.
She like sees him like walk by. She like sees his cape. Oh, the poor thing.
Yeah, but fucking Cly. Okay, she takes the tapestries off the wall that are like an honor to like the gods or something, and fucking lays them on the floor so he has to walk across them and like defile their like purpose or whatever. So it's almost like he's like spinning on the gods kind of thing.
But she is like, oh, like, of course you deserve this, whatever. I was like, ooh, you are really just, like, so calculating in your anger,
yeah,
sister.
Yeah, and, like, the whole thing with, like, him taking off his muddy boots and, like, I guess when you have 10 years to plan, like, you really make sure you hit.
Every detail. This bitch was, like, down to the fucking last speck.
Yeah, literally.
Wow.
But, like, okay, so then that's the thing, right? So she's like, oh, like, you should go, like, take a bath, unwind before we feast or whatever.
And, like, she, like, goes
These
with him.
Cats are fucking going crazy. Sorry. Okay, yes, she goes cats. With him. Okay, back into the story. So she goes with him, and he's, like, in the bath, and he's just, like, chilling, which...
Chilling.
This also just goes to speak of, like, the male ignorance. Like, you killed your daughter, and, like, you don't...
Well, that's what she makes a point and says. She's like, did he really think that, like, I was going to be just drawing him a bath after we haven't spoken in 10 years and he killed our child in front of me? The last time I saw this man, he had just slaughtered our child. Like, hello, sir?
Yeah. I mean, he's dumb.
It was so insignificant in his mind that he was like, whatever.
Yeah, so, you know, honestly, I don't feel bad that, you know.
I guess I feel a little bad.
I don't really feel bad. So anyways, she ends up fucking strangling him in the tub with like this like weaved blanket or something.
It's like his like bathrobe, but she like sews the head shut. So like he's like, where's my head? You know, like trying to like, you know, when you like, put on a shirt and you're like finagling around inside of it because you're like, I don't know where my armhole, my head hole, whatever.
Yeah.
And so he's doing that.
And she comes out with an axe
and fucking bashes this man's head in
until it's a bloody pulp.
I was like, Clementstra, sister.
Halloween came early. But, like, this is the thing. Like, she just wrote it so nonchalantly.
But because that the Greek myths, they keep it moving, bro. They're like, whatever, he's dead. Next plot point. Yeah, I'm like, seriously. You know, like, if that happened in, like, a regular fiction book we were reading, like, just a normal, like, contemporary, whatever, we'd be like, oh, my God. You know, like, bashed his head in with a fucking axe.
Yeah, and then also we did
this case, it was like, all right, next scene.
Well, we also didn't talk about how, like, when Aegisthus, like, comes in while they're away at war, like, no one says anything that she's just, like, parading him around the palace as, like, her
right, fucking, her little fuck toy.
Yeah. And, like, he's, like, kind of also ruling with her. And then, like, after Agamemnon's dead, it's, like, he, like, takes, like, the throne.
Well,
like,
after actually. Agamemnon's dead... Now, all of a sudden, this little pussy boy, he's feeling powerful. Even though he did not kill Agamemnon, Clementia did. But now he's, like, walking ahead of her. And, like, he's like, I'm king. Bro, I would kill him, too. I'd kill him, too.
In a step.
I would also kill him.
And, yeah.
Elektra is devastated.
So, really, like, the end part of the book is, like, Elektra mostly, like, talking about how much she hates her mother and how
now
she
wants to kill her mom.
Yeah, so now she's planning to kill her mother, but like now that Aegisthus is like he can take the throne because Agamemnon's dead, her younger brother is like in peril essentially because Aegisthus will probably kill her younger brother. So there's
because
no
he
claim.
Knows that he grew up to help assist and plot killing Agamemnon, and like he was the little boy that was spared, so he's like, fuck this little boy.
Yeah, so...
Which is not good.
Yeah, so Elektra calls over Georgios, and she's like, hey, my only friend in the world, can you hide away my brother, please? And he's like, of course, anything for you, Elektra. And...
Why Georgios likes this bitch is beyond me.
Yeah, so, like, he does that. So, like, her brother is gone with the wind, and...
Goodbye. Goodbye, brother.
And she... And he's like... And Georgios is like, you know, I know I'm only a measly farmer, but, like, maybe you should marry me. So then that way, like, you're close enough, like, to them to keep eyes on them, but you're not, like, living with them.
And also, like, they won't, like, marry you off. And, like, you know, if you're staying here, like, they'll think you're not a threat because, like, you just married a lowly farmer. But really, like, you're just waiting out until your brother's old enough to return. And then, like, you are close enough where, like, it's fine.
But, like, also, like, this is my thing, too. Like, okay, you've mentioned multiple times that Georgios is your only friend. And yet, when he propositions to marry you, like, you shit on him.
Oh, my
mentally.
God. Shits on him.
Mentally.
She literally was like, no. And verbally. She literally, yes. She was like, I'm only saying yes because it, like, suits, like,
yeah,
my
she was
situation
like, yeah,
or
like,
whatever.
I have no other choice. But, like, in her head, she was like, me, like, marrying a farmer, like, I am the daughter of Agamemnon. Like, I should be with, like, a big, burly, strong, powerful man.
But, like, I guess she was like, you know, she, knows like, her, she knew her
Christ.
Dad wouldn't want this for her either.
That's like an Oedipus complex there.
Which I get, but, like, yeah, girl, like, you don't have other options. And Georgios is so nice to you. And, like, you're just a bitter little bitch. So, like, I would argue you did great, actually.
Okay, and now, and, like, this is a thing, right? So, like, they get married, and Clai's like, why? But she's, like, not feeding into it. She's, like, she's, like, not feeding into it because she knows that's what Elektra wants. Like, she wants a rise out of her.
Right.
But, like, Clai, like, in her own motherly way, like, has to, like, sell it to Aegisthus. Like, oh,
yeah.
Like, at least, like, we'll have eyes on her. Like... you know, there's no threat to the throne with that way and whatever. He's like, oh, I can't believe I didn't think about that before. Of course they should marry, which is like, okay, like you're a fucking asshole. And,
but like, they're both like not wrong in that sense because like, if she did get an army, it'd be even worse for them.
I guess. But like, also, I don't know. But then they get married and Elektra sucks. Like
sucks.
He's a farmer, right? So he's out all day working the fucking land. and she does absolutely nothing.
She's like, ugh, sweeping. There's so many spiders everywhere. I just refuse to do it.
Yeah, so she doesn't sweep. She doesn't clean. Not saying that, like, you know, she should be doing those things. But, like, you also live in this hovel. Live here.
I would argue that, like, if your husband is outside, like, growing you food, like, maybe you should sweep. Yeah, I think that's okay to say.
Well,
anyways. Like, I think it's fine. Like, if like, okay, so for example, back then it's, like, different. You know what I'm saying? Like, now I feel like the reason why people get all uptight and bothered about, like, womanly duties is because, mm-hmm. like, we also have jobs now.
Yeah.
I would argue, like, if your only job to pass the time is to make sure your house is clean, maybe fucking sweep Electra and cook some dinner. Like, you're doing nothing else, actually.
Yeah, she really...
And he's growing the food, so yeah. Maybe cook it.
And, like, you know, like, I don't think there's any romance involved, like, at all.
No, I was waiting for them to, like, have sex, get pregnant. I don't think they even touch each other in, like, a handshake.
No. What a fucking lonely existence. And then...
Lonely.
And the whole time that she's, you know, in this hovel, she's just waiting for her brother to come back to avenge her father.
First of all, why Georgios likes her is beyond me.
Agreed.
What? I'd be like, ew.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so eventually her brother does come back.
And, she's chopping off all of her hair to, like, not donate to her father, to, like, pay respect. It's like a...
Yeah.
It's like she's honoring him. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, even Georgios is, like, girl, like, you've cut all your hair off. It's all, like, mismatched.
Like, she looks like a jacked up Barbie doll.
Ugh, God. I'm like, you're a bitch and you look like fucking shit.
In your hovel. This is, like, a common theme with you, Jamie. Like, you always shit on the people who, like, okay, obviously, like, they're not, quote-unquote, a villain or, like, you know, like, they're an issue in the book. And then you're, like, and then you're ugly on top of it.
I just really strongly I just feel like you can't have a bunch of negatives. It's
so crazy. I feel like you just always sneak that in there.
So my thing, I guess, I just feel like you can only have so many negatives, right? So I'm like, if you're ugly but super nice, like, you're a good person. And, like, you know, like, I don't feel the need to, like, avert my gaze because you're so kind. But if you're fucked up and ugly, I'm like, there's nothing you can give me.
Oh my God. Okay.
Hold on. You came here the one time we were watching Love on the Spectrum, right? That's where the avert my gaze came from. Remember that guy James? He's like blonde with long hair. Mm-hmm. So he was talking about he wants to meet a love match, whatever. And they were like, no, does she have to be pretty? And he was like, I would like to just not want to avert my gaze when I look at them. That's how I feel. If you're nice, I won't avert my gaze. If you're a bitch and you're ugly, I'm kind of like, I just think there's something powerful about, like, a sexy bitch. Like, like, when the villains are hot, I'm kind of like, a little bit of respect, you know? Like,
Okay.
How I feel. It could be a controversial. Hello. It could be controversial and, like, probably not a very nice thought. But it just makes it's just human nature. We like pretty things, and so when you're describing someone as this busted ass person, you're doing that because you want me not to like them. That's just fact.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyways,
you were fucking ripping. Fucking Sally Rooney, normal people. Well,
because she described them just, again, not even, I don't care. Like, the way, like, so the girl, how she was, like, kind of hipster, and she's like, oh, she, like, doesn't wear makeup. She's, like, doesn't shave her legs. I was like, honestly, all of those are, like, cool bitch things. But the way that Sally Rooney described it was, like, trash. And I was like, all right, well, I was putting an image in my mind.
Like, bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, like, you can have the same scenario but have a different feeling behind it. Like, again, like, smoking cigarettes, no makeup, not shaving your legs. Okay, cool girl hipster. Or you could describe it as, like, this person is just dirty and lazy, and I don't like that. And that's how Sally Rooney described her. I didn't really feel that way about her. I'm just like, that's the taste she put in my mouth on purpose. She tried to do that. whatever. Anyways, well, Electra is fucking ugly right now and a bitch. So therefore, big no for Jamie. Boo, Electra.
Oh, God. Yeah. So, her brother comes back with her cousin, Plydon.
She describes him as hot, and I was like, okay, I like him. Didn't know much about him, but I was like, he's going to be a good guy.
He says, like, three words, Jamie.
She said he has a beard, and he's big. I was like, okay.
Well, anyways, so Electra's like, okay, you're going to go to the...
Are you distracted?
Yes. She's like, you're going to go to the castle undercover, and you're going to kill Aegisthus. And then you have to kill our mother. And he's like, I don't know if I have to kill mom. And she's like, no, you do. You know you do.
He's like, I don't know if I want to kill our mom. And she's like, you simply must.
Okay, but like also too, like he went to the Oracle of Delphi, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like she gave him a vision that like he would avenge his father. But like mm-hmm. if he didn't complete it completely or something like that, like
the god's wrath.
Yeah, would like haunt him. So essentially, now this is where I got kind of confused at the end.
With the birds?
Yeah.
Those were crazy.
Yeah, so like they're
okay.
In-
so there's birds. Okay, they're not bird birds. I imagine them like
bird is the word I said a bird, bird, bird. Bird is the word I said a bird, bird.
Okay. So I imagine them like with like human faces but like bird claws and like ah! You know, like screaming.
I was anyways. Imagining more like crows.
No, they're like human birds. They're like mags, you know, like, or like what are those things, like the bird humans. They're like they scream. No,
pterodactyl.
No. Mythical bird. Evil birds. Evil bird women. Okay, women. I'm looking at it. I think they're women. Mythical evil bird. A harpy. That's how I imagine them, as a harpy. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm going to send you pictures of them. Oh, yeah. This is what I imagine them. Oh, my God. Yes. I'll send you a photo. So get ready. It's coming to you soon.
Coming to a theater near you.
Anyways, so I imagine them as, like, these, like, evil things. But, okay, so what I gathered, like, from this is that – I don't even know where you are. I lost you. Okay, here we are. Okay, so apparently these bird human women screaming things, they come and, like, torment you if you kill your parent, because that's, like, an ultimate sin.
Mm.
So, like, either he didn't kill his mom and the god's wrath would, like, get him because he didn't avenge his father, but if he kills his mom, it's, like, same. He almost has, like, a fate that's bad as well, because then the bird humans come and get him.
Yeah.
So they, like, all walk up. Now, mind you, before we even get to the killing of various humans, now that this random cousin is here, whatever his name is, hot bearded man, who cares what his name is, Electra literally goes to Georgios and she's like, after we kill my mom, I'm actually never coming back.
Which was
and
so
like
crazy.
She's also like, that's the kind of man I should have married. And I was like, I mean, girl, know your worth, I suppose. But at the same time, wow, poor Georgios. He dealt with your bitter fucking attitude for, like,
ever.
Years. And now you're like, no, thank you. The fuck?
Yeah, no, she
I'd punch her square in the face.
She sucks. And I don't really feel bad for her.
No, not bad at all. But, I mean, spoiler alert, she gets the man. So...
Yeah, so anyways, they kill him. Interesting. I've never seen this thing before. This
oh, my God. Yeah. No, that's, like, literally how I imagine them. Like, look at these fucking things. I'm showing Hallie nasty-looking creatures.
Yeah, that's, I've never seen this before in my life. Anyways.
That's what I imagine, coming down to, you know.
Gotcha. Yeah, so the birds come. So the birds come and... they terrorize.
Well, he kills everyone. He kills them. He kills them all.
Yeah, but they're still, like, torturing his mind.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying, but, like, did you say that he killed his mom and Aegisthus?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I was hissing, so I didn't hear you.
Or maybe I didn't say that. I don't know. He kills
them. Well, he kills everyone.
And he takes the throne. And he's,
but
like,
he's all, yeah, he's all fucked up, though.
He's, like, plagued by nightmares and shit, and because...
The birds.
And Electra ends up marrying her cousin.
But it's not really her cousin. Is it her cousin for real? Yes. For real? Because like
it's her father's sister's son.
Her father's sister's son. Yes. But they grew up like brothers. Okay, correct. I'm just, the family lines fuck me up. And then they also heal the brother. The bird man. Like they bring him somewhere and he's like, you have paid for your sins. Healed. And
oh, he's fine. Yeah.
So great, amazing. And then Elektra, it ends with like Elektra living on this like remote island with the hot beard man, and they have a son or a daughter. And I'm like, okay, great.
Yeah, they don't.
She's like, fuck society. Okay. Which I would argue is similar to the life she had with Giorgio, so why is it okay now? Anyways. I digress.
Very valid.
So let's talk about just the book overall, because I feel like this was a shit show. Let's have some defined thought. Let's loop it back in. So, okay. We just said, I feel like it's definitely a Elektra Clementstra story. Mm-hmm. I really did feel like I resonated with both of them in the sense of like,
not that Cassandra dies. Oh my God, we didn't say that.
Clementstra kills her. Well, but she like asked for it.
Because Cassandra asked her to kill her, yeah.
Yeah, That's taking a gamble, I must say. So she's dead. Okay, but I guess my point is I really appreciated like the duality and like the relationship, because you really got to see like how things could get so convoluted and fucked up. Like Clementstra really was like, I'm going to kill this man, and I'm going to do it also for our children, because he's clearly a danger to all of them, because he so fucking willy-nilly killed our oldest daughter. Mm-hmm. Like, I want my kids to be safe from this like fucked up man. Like, what if there's another war? He's gonna be like, okay, next one, you know, like whatever.
You're next.
And so I totally got her point, but like in doing that and like in her like, you know, tunnel vision, she neglected her kids and like got Elektra to hate her. And then in killing the father, got Elektra to hate her more, which then ended up in her demise. So it's like, mm-hmm. I always appreciate that about the Greek myths, is that like the characters have such like this strong,
what goes around comes around.
Yeah, but they have like such like a strong sense of what's right and wrong. But it's like, yeah, because of that like strong will and like passion, that's usually what their demise is.
Well, yeah, a lot of it is blindly placed.
Right. Right.
You know, I feel like there's like a very big emphasis on like loyalty, mm-hmm. and like adherence to like their morals. Like you said, of, like what's right and wrong.
I just am always shocked by like,
yeah, what bites them in the ass.
Yes.
And so I'm shocked. Does that have to say about society today?
I don't know, man.
People live their lives.
Yeah. I mean, oh, man, I just feel like for me, it's like, I'm just shocked by like the way that your actions like almost do exactly the opposite in these stories all the time. It's like, you know, or it's like when they hear like, oh, their fate is to die, whatever, and they try to avoid it their whole lives. And like, because they did that, that's what ends up killing them, you know? Yeah. Like, Clementstra really was fighting for her kids and like was like, I can't bear to look at them, but I will do the only thing I know will keep them safe. And like in that process got her daughter to hate her, mm-hmm. and like then her kids killed her.
Yeah, and I think about that too with the Trojan War, right? Mm-hmm. Like the reason why the Trojan War happens is because Paris takes Helen, right?
Yeah.
Now Hecuba has the vision that like there will be destruction, mm-hmm. onto Troy
because of Paris' son.
So they're like, oh, he can't stay in the castle. We have to get rid of him. And
well, they tell them to kill them. They tell the parents to kill Paris, and they can't do it.
But this is what I'm saying, right? Like, so it's prophesied that, like, Troy is going to fall because of the son. But they think, you know, if they just get rid of the kid, like, they'll save Troy. But, like, what they don't understand is, like, their move of, like, them giving away the baby is what causes the destruction. You know what
also,
I mean?
Also, to be fair, I mean, also the fact that, like, they were so gung-ho on all these prophecies. And that was kind of, I think, what's-her-face. Clementstra makes that point, too. Like, you were so you loved your child so much when he was first born that you couldn't bear killing him knowing that he would be the downfall of your great city. And yet fucking Agamemnon just slit our daughter's throat for this war, mm-hmm. you know? Which, to be fair, I mean, okay, not that I would say it like this now as a woman in today's society, I'm saying back then, if I had a prophecy, throw that kid off the balcony. Bye. Like, you also have, like, a million kids back then.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you'll have another. Again, I don't feel that way now. I'm just saying, like, that would have saved us a lot of issues in this book. Also, you can't say shit about that stamps. You for sure agree with that.
Kill them all.
Yeah. I mean, so shut the fuck up.
I mean, but, like, I just think it's just, like, ironic. Yeah. Right? Like, what if they were just like, fuck it. Like, we're just going to keep Paris in the castle and just raise him like a normal boy.
But then he still might have taken Helen.
Okay, but maybe he would have destroyed Freud a different way. You know what I mean?
So yeah, yeah. Like, no. It's always, yeah. It's, you can't escape fate. It doesn't matter what you do.
You can't escape the fates.
Right, right. All right, so what did you give this book? What was your Goodreads rating?
I gave it a 3.5.
Okay.
I was going to give it a 3.
Wow.
And I was like, nah, I feel kind of bad. So I gave it a 3.5.
Why did you give it a 3.5?
I just didn't really enjoy this story.
Okay. Are
I just
you
didn't really like it.
Are you willing to read other Jennifer Saint books?
Oh, like, yeah, for sure. I just didn't like this one.
So it's not so much her as an author. It's just like these particular characters. Just, you were like, yeah, whatever.
It was just this story.
Okay. So I give it a 4 for the same reason, actually. I feel like if she gave me like a Greek myth that I was like dying to see with her writing and stuff, it'd be 5 stars easily. I gave it 4 stars for the same reason. Like, I wasn't like super wowed with them, but I did find it interesting, like seeing the background characters for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, it was kind of cool to be like, oh, this was all happening during the Trojan War and like no one talks about it.
Yeah, like, I did enjoy, like, that aspect of it, and, like, right, how I was able to connect the dots, and, like, now I have, like, more knowledge, like, if I'm gonna read another one.
Right.
But, like, just, like, their whole shtick, I just didn't really like
it. I thought it was tragic, like, the fact that, like, they both, like, there was, like, a lot of, like, familial love, and, like, it just ended up in all of them hating each other, which I thought was just, like, sad. But that's, I mean, that's all these fucking Greek things are sad, and everyone just like miscommunicates and they're just idiots. So,
yeah,
you know. But yeah, so I would say I liked Ariadne better than this one. Yeah. She has 2 others. Atalanta. Mm-hmm. It's not Atlanta, I realize. There's an A in the middle. So it's Atalanta. And then her newest one, I think it's either just released or it's not even released yet, is Hera, which I'm interested in reading.
I think Hera did come out.
It was like probably just came out then.
Yeah.
I'm down to read both. I like Jennifer Saint. Yeah, I think overall I recommend her as an author, I feel like, just to anyone listening. Like, I think it's just like a fun way to like kind of do, it's like almost, it makes me feel good like doing my due diligence learning about the Greek myths, but like in an enjoyable way.
Yeah, for sure.
Because again, I think she does them accurately. Like, I feel like she does a lot of research. Like, she's talked about it.
She does a good job.
Oh my goodness, cars. Just motorcycles. Vroom, vroom.
Vroom, vroom.
Yeah, so I'm down to read more of her books. Yeah, super. I think it was nice getting back into, like, the Greek myth world. Just because, like, it's never going to be boring. It's always going to, someone's going to die. And, like, it's going to be fucking crazy. I would argue, actually, a lot of people die. So.
Death, destruction.
Wow, we haven't done that in forever.
I know.
And so, ending this episode, we are now upon spooky season.
Thank God.
I'm so excited. I just got a new reading chair, guys. I spent an absurd amount of money on it, and it's ginormous. It's like a bed. And so, like, my window's open right now. I'm going to light a candle and, like, snuggle into it and, like, read a spooky book on this gloomy day. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. That's, like, just what I live for,
it's
actually.
Peak. It's peak living.
Peak living.
Don't tell me otherwise.
No, I'm a witch at heart. Like, give me a cat, give me a pumpkin spice latte, and, like, knee-high socks and a hoodie, and I'm like, ha!
I don't know if that classifies a witch, but okay.
I'm like a fall human through and through. If I could live in eternal fall, I just was deep cleaning my house today, and I, like, took out my fall decor, which I don't have a lot because I'm poor. But I, like, put, like, my little fall wreath on the door and, like, put, like some fall garland on my stair banister going up. And I was, like, I was, like, a tizzy. Anyways, so spooky season, the reason I'm saying all this is because spooky season is, like, peak. So as we mentioned, we now, like, legit are doing every other Sunday because Hallie needs to go be a fancy-pantsy doctor in training or whatnot. Is that what they, like...
What?
Not like a doctor in training, but like you're getting a doctorate, you know? So like, what did we call this? I don't know.
A doctorate degree?
Yeah, but I want to say like you're like a trainee. Like you're a doctoree? I don't know.
Like, this is the thing. Like, you know, like... You say like, oh, she's going to be a doctor. People think like a medical doctor.
No, I totally... That's why I'm saying. Like, is there a word? Like... Like, you're not a doctor like that, but you will be a doctor. Anyways, whatever. But Hallie needs to go be smart and not talk to me. So we will be doing, like, legit every other Sunday through the new year. We're still going to be trying to do fun things and growing ourselves. But we will be doing every other Sunday. And so the next book will be, like, midst of spooky season, like, mid-October, which will be... Ah, I'm so excited. And so we're doing...
Pet Cemetery
by Stephen King. So I'm excited for that. I've only read one Stephen King book, actually. So I've been dying to, like, get into, like, the world of Stephen King. And I think this is, you know, peak time to do it.
Yeah, I've never read... I don't think I've ever read, like, any true horror books.
Yeah, like that, right. I read, Have you read Stephen King before or no?
No.
Yeah, I feel like it's, like, just, like, kind of, You need to, as a reader. Like, if we're saying we're readers, we need to...
Read a little bit of everything.
We need to read Stephen King. So, Pet Cemetery it is. And then, that'll be mid-October. And then, our second spooky season book, we want to do a classic. So, we'll have you guys vote on which classic horror we're going to do.
I personally... I don't know. Never mind.
Say it. Say what you're thinking. Tell us.
No, I was just trying to think, like, what I would want to cover. But, like, I've read Frankenstein. I've read Dracula.
But those are, like, classic horrors. So, like, we could still have you guys vote for them and then just still cover of them.
I'm just saying. I think I liked Frankenstein more.
I think I was opposite. I think I liked Dracula more.
I was getting a little bit confused with Dracula because it's all in, like, journal entries.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
And it's long. Dracula's long.
I feel like it's not. I don't know.
Well, I had the ebook, and it was, like, fucking 800-something pages, but I don't know if it's because it was, like, an ebook.
That's, yeah,
like,
no.
Like, the print? I don't know if that's why.
Yeah, something was wrong.
I mean, I read it in 2 days, but, like, you know what I mean?
Wait, I don't know. I have to send you, I don't know. Hold on. Anyways, we'll talk after this.
Jamie's like,
Yeah, did I not read the right thing? So, I mean, Frankenstein and Dracula will definitely be on the poll for you guys to vote for. We'll see if we want to add other ones. And if not, we'll just have you guys vote between those two. But if you have suggestions and you really, like, have a classic horror that tickles your peach, let us know. So we will see you guys in 2 Sundays for spooky season.
Like, comment, subscribe, share.
Mwahahahaha.
If you dare.
Right. I might wear a witch's hat next episode. Anyways.
That's crazy.
Amazing. All right. We love you guys.
I'm going to do the next episode on a fucking Jason mask.
Oh my God. Can we please? I love this. Okay. We love you guys.
Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.